This is Windy City Sports Talk, hosted by Will Hatzel. Windy City Sports Talk features all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears,
the Bear,
Bulls,
the Bulls,
Blackhawks, Cubs,
holy cow,
and White Sox.
You can put it on the board, yes!
It's time to talk Windy City Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Windy City Sports Talk. It is the first episode of 2021. Very excited to be bringing it here. A lot of great stuff planned. We have like four shows planned to kick off the new year, so very excited about that. Today is the first one. And hey, if you have not heard, the Bears made the playoffs. Yeah, I guess. So we're going to be talking about that today. And there's my good friend and usual Bears analyst, Zach Heilman, joining the podcast yet again, but for the first time in 2021. I think he's just as thrilled as I am with the fact that the Bears will be playing the Saints in a wild card game this Sunday at 3:40 p.m. Central Time. So it's going to be, I'm not really that thrilled for the game. I have a funny meme I've been sending around to people. Too bad I couldn't get a visual aspect here of just me with the Michael Scott from The Office face of him, just like a straight face looking kind of numb. That's going to be me watching the game. Zach, how about you? Is that going to be you?
Well, I'm very numb. I'm playing Pink Floyd in the background right now. Just kind of vibing. Not really. You can't hear that, but that's in my mentally. I am playing that because I am comfortably numb at this point. I didn't know what to expect from the season, and then I was pretty well set on what the Bears are going to be, and then I'm just back to the same point. I really, you know, not feeling too great. I mean, even with the playoff berth, you know, there's situations and reasons why I can't be excited for this, whether it's out of the Bears' control or in their own control. So I take it what you will. You know, I'm basically giving my meh face at the last few weeks, and especially going into this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't see how people are very excited about this. It's, you know, it's weird because usually in the past I would have taken an 8-8 record and sneaking into the playoffs as a success. I mean, I think there's been Bears teams in the past, even as early as last year. You know, last year cut them more of a break because of some injuries and some other things going on, like a tougher schedule. But you start the season off 5-1, you end 8-8. It's kind of ridiculous. As we know, in the heart of the season, we had the 6-game losing streak going on. It was very frustrating. Then you're going back to Trubisky. And then, as you brought up a couple of times on the other podcast, we help co-host Beyond the Press Box. It's like all these people all of a sudden are turning around saying, oh, you know, we should have kept Mitch in and Mitch should come back next year. It's like there's been such a change in attitude with fans, and I'm just as guilty. You know, I ride the wave of emotions too sometimes, but regardless of the result on Sunday, Zach, whether they have a shocking win or they get blown out or just lose in general, whatever happens, do you think we should, and I'll say it as we, not even the fans, but should the McCaskey family, should everybody that runs this team who has final say over, is Pace coming back? Is Nagy coming back? Should they keep Trubisky? Should all of those people, and I guess fans, I guess we can include us, everyone should be on this together, I think, should we view the 2020 season as a success?
No, I don't think so. But there's others that would digress. I will say one thing to those that think it is, or that argue it is. The Bears did play back after going down 5-7, losing 6 straight, looking like this was the bottom of the barrel after getting destroyed by Green Bay the first time, mind you, because last week they did play harder, but they still pretty much got blown out in the second half by Green Bay. They got off the mat. They won the games that on paper they should have won, even Minnesota, which there were those and stat lines that said that they weren't going to win. And they clawed themselves back. So I give them applause for that. What I don't give them applause for is that you had to have certain factors lean that way to even get there in the first place. Now, I will credit Cody Emerson on Beyond the Press Box for bringing this up, as in, do I like the 7th seed in the NFL? And this is my take on it. I like it if the conference is strong that year. So for the AFC's sake, I like it. Because you let You let in a 11-5 team. All of the wild cards in the AFC are 11-5. That is a strong conference. All those teams deserve to make it. Even Miami, which, you know, Miami lost in a blowout to the Buffalo Bills with a preseason contest for the Bills' favor, in my eyes, and they will not get a playoff berth. So in my eyes, a seven seeded tournament in a conference works for the likes of the AFC. In the NFC, where it's been weaker, anyone that makes that seven to me is not, it doesn't deserve to be there, if I'm being honest. I want to compare this to last year, because last year we had the traditional four division winners and two wild cards. The Bears missed as the second lowest below the cut line with 8-8. They were just below the LA Rams. So to me, if I'm basing it on just one season out of the norm, and this will eventually change as the years go on, we'll get used to the seven seeds, but the Bears finished one spot higher to get qualified thanks to the NFL wanting a little more money on the television revenue side. And I don't really think that's something to get excited over. I also think, as I have collected my thoughts since this past month has gone on with fans, I also argue, how do you get excited for next year if we stay status quo? Because you have other factors, as your salary cap is completely shot. If you want Mitch back, that's fine, but Mitch is not going to win you the high profile games. I think he'll do about this right now, I think, is what I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe if you find a way to center your offense around David Montgomery to where you make it like Derrick Henry in Tennessee, but even then, I don't think that's going to be as possible. But there's some things that, you know, they linger into next year, which doesn't make me excited for this playoff run, because you finished 8-8 for the second year in a row and you clawed your way back to get a new spot that was made for the playoffs just for a little extra chump change. And you're most likely also losing draft picks, or at least draft stock, because of it. It wasn't going to change much. The Bears, with winning three in a row there, did of course mess with their draft stock. But to me, in a year where they change it for the first time and you're basically backing in on a loss to your division rival who outclassed you for the second time this year and has been outclassing you now for roughly three decades, close to that pretty much, it doesn't feel good. And I thought 4 weeks ago, about a month ago now at this point, that we were all on board saying it's time for a structural change. Let's make this team rebuild the right way so that we can avoid some of this mediocrity and these blip playoff appearances that we've been having. And I don't think you get that with what Chicago has this year. And they can go in and beat New Orleans. If they do that and they make a deep playoff run, maybe my opinion changes. But I have not seen much this year to make me enthused to where I am saying a seventh seed in a new playoff format, losing to Green Bay and backing in on a tiebreaker, makes me super thrilled to be a Bears fan right now.
Yeah, you know what, Zach, about that seventh seed, I am actually okay with there being a seventh seed. I will say the Bears aren't really showing it off as a good example for the first time here, because, they kind of leaned on it as a crutch. Because at the end of the day, I think that's what makes it even a worse feeling, and why I don't really feel like an accomplished Bears fan, like that this year was truly an accomplishment with the 8-8 record and making the playoffs, for two reasons. One, because if it wasn't for this rule change, wouldn't have made the playoffs to begin with. And two, the one time that this team could have proven it in terms of Nagy, Trubisky, anybody, even on the guys on defense, to prove that they were the real deal and that they truly did bounce back and were ready and at least somewhat worthy to make the playoffs, it would have been if they would have beat the Packers. Even if you would have lost by a field goal or a touchdown, kept it a close game, you played well, and they started off well, it was close, but it's as we started approaching halftime, you could tell the winds were turning, and once they started the second half, it's like Aaron Rodgers and company was just in full control of the game. Now, what did kind of tick me off was what happened Sunday morning before this game even happened later in the afternoon. Rumors were already coming out, popping up on my phone, that from ESPN and Ian Rappaport from, you know, NFL Network, stated that Matt Nagy's job is supposedly safe and that he's expected to return to the Bears next year. if, you know, rumors are rumors, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but I'm going to be honest with you, Zach, I'm going to be pretty upset if Nagy and Pace were told, maybe even some of the other coaching staff, you know, guys in the coaching staff, that their jobs were safe. They're allowed to come back next year. If this really happened, I am going to be very disappointed in the McCaskey family or Ted Phillips, whoever made this final call, the supposed final call, because again, as I just said, this Packers game was the last true test, the last true way for them to prove, no, we can handle being here in Chicago and leading this football team to the playoffs and having success. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts. One, do you believe these rumors? And two, what are your thoughts, you know, about the fact that it sounds like these guys may stay, and knowing the Bears, they're probably going to keep at least one of these guys or some of these guys.
I, you know, I'm kind of not surprised. I look back at the last month, you go back to that 5-7 record the Bears had after being blown out on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. And at that point, that was the lowest of low. Basically, you didn't think you'd go lower, which actually, if we're going to be, I'm sorry, I'm even misspeaking, because I was meaning 5-6. 5-7, they were lost to the Detroit Lions, which actually, that is the lowest of the low points. Forgive me on that point. I don't know why I even let that slip my mind. It could just because it's Detroit. You know,
we should have won that game.
Hey, well, yeah, that's exactly the point. You know, everyone also touts that game as an improved offense. So I think you look at post-Green Bay, I messed this up with the record just because Detroit, it was a winnable game. And again, I just look back to Green Bay as kind of the moment where I'm saying, okay, this is time to start looking a different direction. And looking at this now, the last 4 or 5 weeks, the way this has turned is for, well, the offense improved because Matt Nagy finally learned to give up the play calling. So in that mark, people said, well, he's a good enough coach to give up the play calling and listen to his people finally. And players aren't giving up on him, which, you know what? That's a great stat to have for a coach. I mean, if we remember, Mark Trestman lost a locker room in 2 years. So I can't knock him for that. And if players are behind a coach and backing him, then there's something to fight for. But then evolved the new scapegoat. And I agree that he's going to be out of Chicago next year, and he'll be scapegoated for giving these guys in Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace probably another chance, is going to be Chuck Pagano. And that defense took a massive step back the last 4 weeks in particular of the season. If we really want to start, you know, Green Bay, we were not surprised because Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones as that dynamic trio were already lighting up the NFL. So I wasn't totally blown away by losing in that sense, but losing to Detroit in a 34-30 score, that one hurt. And that was defensive lapses. And then it kept kind of showing its ugly head through games. I mean, the Minnesota contest in general, you know, that one wasn't completely in control for the Bears until late in the fourth quarter. Even Mitch Trubisky throwing an interception, you know, that almost gave that game away too. We would almost be talking about playoffs, and the Vikings might be talking a wild card right now if it wasn't for just enough offense being able to generate for the Bears. But defensively, Chicago's taken a step back. It's been evident since he has joined up with the team post Vic Fangio after 2018. And I think it makes an easy scapegoat for us to ignore what's happened this year. And I think people will tolerate it if they find a good enough defensive coordinator. Now, the one thing I wish people don't, and I hope we consider for just a second before we all dive back in saying, let's run this back a year, is that even with this mid-round pick the Bears are going to get, you still have a chance to draft a decent quarterback that can at least challenge supposedly a one-year deal Mitch Trubisky next year, because it sounds like anymore, unless Mitch is completely disgruntled with this team, which could be the case too. I mean, he was treated poorly this year at times, as we learned with Nick Foles getting switched out. He might be back, and he might be having a chance to start, and you might have Ryan Pace, who, and I know we always beat this dead horse, but it's never going to stop being beaten until the Bears fix this problem, chose Mitch Trubisky. And I'm only going to say it over one person, over Deshaun Watson, because I'm not going to say that you knew that Patrick Mahomes was going to be a perennial, you know, all-star quarterback, Super Bowl champion. Deshaun Watson was the obvious choice. Ryan Pace tried to go for a flashy, overthinking option. And this is what he got. So tell me that I feel confident about this man going in with another choice at QB. He does get Matt Nagy. But I also still don't feel confidence because you have made one of the greatest QB blunders in NFL history at that pick. And you are going to get another shot. That's just adds on to it, is all. And I think they're going to get another shot. Personally, I'm going to say that they're fine too. The three of the last four games with them getting to the playoff, and again, even with an asterisk of the seventh seed, it's hard now to justify it. If it had continued to be a downward spiral like it was back in week, I'm going to go off the top of my head, week 13, then I would be 100% behind it. Even if they would have missed the playoffs, if they would just miss the playoffs in the seventh seed completely, I would say, yeah, no, we should definitely consider this. But now, since, you know, it's just enough to satisfy ownership most likely and say, let's run it back again and experiment, which I don't want to experiment like this, but this is how the McCaskies usually work in history of their coaches. So I'm going to say that this is going to be the same people that are dealing with this stuff come the 2021 draft, you know, training camps, you name it. We'll see Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. The only one that'll be the one that might walk out is Ted Phillips, but that sounds more like because he's trying to find a way to retire while also not looking like the team's going to fire him up there. But that's not even guaranteed in its own right, because it's, to me, you keep status quo and it's more comfortable to keep the people in office than have to search for someone. So the Bears basically getting out by saying, we made a playoffs, we don't really have to make much changes. Let's just work with what we got. Maybe we can maximize our talent next year.
Yeah, I think the only way, honestly, to me, the way it appears, the only way I think Ted Phillips leaves is if they end up moving on from Ryan Pace. Because if they move on from Ryan Pace, I think that means that they are ready to have a complete change at the top in terms of who is, you know, running the operations for the football team and who's going to be in charge of roster management and coaching and stuff like that. If Ryan Pace stays, I don't think they make a change at, you know, with Ted Phillips, because to be honest with you, if you don't get rid of Pace, what's the point of getting rid of Phillips? Because if one's going to go, they both should go. If you're actually going to commit to doing a change with the front office, then I think you got to go to the top of the top right there. And that obviously starts with Ted Phillips. But, you know, the thing with Ryan Pace is it's not that the idea, his actual decisions were kind of right. Like, were actually the right decisions to make. It's just how he went about them or who he picked instead. Like, moving on from Cutler was a good idea. I was okay with Glennon at first for that kind of money. Not really, but I'm like, okay, it's time for a new quarterback. He failed after four games. You go and draft Trubisky. You needed a quarterback. He made the right move to draft a quarterback. How he did it, trading up and getting Mitch, wrong. Same with Foles. You know, because I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't support these moves. I'm not going to be that kind of person. I did support the Foles trade, and I'm going to stand by it. I was okay with it, but it turns out it didn't work out. So Glennon didn't work out. It was a good idea, though. Trubisky didn't work out. Not the greatest idea to draft him, obviously, but they attacked their biggest need at finding a quarterback. So he at least gets a little bit of, you know, respect for that, I think. And then, of course, the Foles thing, again, at the time, it made so much sense. And to be honest with you, nobody thought that Foles was going to be a top five quarterback in the league this year. But I don't know what happened from that Atlanta game, that amazing comeback, then for the next 4 or 5 weeks of him starting, where he played bad. He didn't throw the ball well. He made bad decisions. You know, we know he's slow. He's not a Mitchell Trubisky runner. That's fine. But again, at the end of the day, Pace, it's like he had the right idea. Unfortunately, his picks and everything just didn't make any sense. And I want to keep it on Trubisky here is because I want to get some thoughts on this Packers game, because I think this game, there's a lot to be said about this game and to prove that does prove to us that the Bears just aren't a very good team. They're as accurate as their record states. They're 8-8. They're average. They could beat teams that are at their skill level or lower, but they can't beat a 13-3 team like the Packers or even keep it close. And that's why I think you still have to find another quarterback, because I mean, what did Trubisky do anything well in that game to impress you? He threw another dumb interception, almost threw another dumb one in the end zone on one of their possessions. Okay, he threw for 252 yards, completed 33 out of 42 pass attempts. But okay, how many of those pass attempts were 2 or 3 yard out route passes? You know, the little safety net passes, because the guy struggles to throw the ball down the field 10 yards or more. And at this point, you have to call those plays and you have to let him try. But it's the fact that he's so inefficient with it that it ties Matt Nagy's hands together. It ties Bill Lazor's hands together. It's just very frustrating, because this is where I'll still defend Nagy. He can't do the offense he wants to do because he has a quarterback that's not even a college level quarterback, that were like a starting college level quarterback. Let's be honest. If you can't throw the ball like Aaron Rodgers, or even remotely close, you're not going to have success in the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers is doing it with one good receiver and a bunch of guys that are third and fourth stringers on a lot of other teams. So I'm just wondering your thoughts on this Packers game and the fact that the Bears went back to showing us that when they go back to playing good teams, they just can't seem to hang.
You know, what kills me is that they actually played the game plan you need to take on the Green Bay Packers for the majority of the first and second quarter. Well, the first quarter and the majority of the second quarter, they were playing the game plan needed, which is keep away. You know, when you have an all-star quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers, like a Patrick Mahomes, you have to play keep away from these offenses to even have a shot. And they did, you know, they did. The only thing is they really couldn't convert when they got in the red zone. I mean, if we're talking the fact that, you know, three different red zone opportunities and they couldn't score touchdowns, they had to go for field goals, which, you know, if you want to talk about something I thought was interesting, was that, you know, in certain fourth down situations where it was on in the red zone, I felt like, you know, you need to be a little more risque, if not just kind of pressing the issue and going for it. Now, the Bears forced themselves in a bad scenario later in the game where they were pretty much going for fourth down three straight times, which led to the nail in the coffin turnover on downs late in the fourth quarter. But if we're talking the Bears, you know, again, they played keep away. I would say that if we're talking just Mitch as well, Mitch is Mitch. He's always been best when he has that first read to throw to, and he's always best when there's a good run game. And so the Bears transformed their offense in this past month to be a run first team with bootlegs and quick reads in mind to get the offense going. And in essence, it became the Jared Goff offense with the LA Rams. The LA Rams and the Bears right now, if I'm being honest, I think they run similar offensive schemes. They're all about getting the ball out quick, less reads, less having to go between progressions for the quarterback, run first mentality. I mean, with the Rams, at least it's more running back by committee, but you know, with the Bears, Montgomery is the bell cow, but they want to make sure their quarterbacks are efficient and they don't have to think too much. And with Mitch Trubisky, we've seen it, especially against Green Bay, and you brought it up, Will, when he has to go through progressions, go for deeper passes, that is not a strong suit. That is what holds the offense. That is what holds an offense like the Bears back from being explosive. You can win games with it. That is something I always hear. You know, yes, Mitch has a winning record. Okay, we're not going to deny that. He has a winning record with Chicago. He can win you games, but he cannot win you the bigger games, which maybe that's moving the goalpost, but you know what? When Matt Nagy came in 2018 and the Bears finished 12-4, why do we have to go back down and accept 8-8 as a successful season? I should be expecting, with that potential and with the majority of that roster being retained over the last 2 years, to challenge for the NFC North crown every year. I think it's ridiculous that we've gotten to the point where we have decided to backpedal and say, whoa, 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 we made the playoffs. 2 years ago, we were 12-4 with a third seed in the NFC and didn't move on because Cody Parkey couldn't make a field goal. You think it's ridiculous that we sit here and go, man, I wonder why the potential's not there, you know, or why we rag on Mitch Trubisky so much, or why, you know, I think I had this argument for like accepting mediocrity. And that's a big reason why. You know, and Mitch was supposed to take this big step in 2019, whether it's Matt Nagy's offense, whether it's his skills, he didn't take that step. Okay. That's why we were in the position with Nick Foles, which in my opinion, Will, I did hold this spot. I was not a fan of Nick Foles when that went down because it gave up a draft pick and the money. And I, of course, changed that opinion as ebb and flows the season went. I was happy with how Nick Foles was in Atlanta. And then, of course, I soured as the season went on. And then Mitch came in and, you know, they ran everything that he's successful with against subpar to middling teams. And they won because that's what he's good at. And then teams like that usually aren't able to adapt really quick to, you know, some of the basics that the Bears offense can throw, or they just weren't really good at the run, which, you know, if you're not good at the run, you're going to eventually give up on the pass because you're focused on the run. But you shouldn't accept 8-8 as well for the fact that 2 years ago, this was a Super Bowl bound team. And we have just went, well, we made the playoffs, so we don't got to fire everybody, you know, and you get arguments of like of other things where saying bad teams are to fire coaches every 2 or 3 years. Yeah, some do, but sometimes it does need to happen. I'm saying it won't this year because of obvious reasons, but you know, offensively, if we're looking at Green Bay, all your common complaints as a Bears fan resonate in that game, and your ceiling is that game. You will not pass Green Bay. You will not pass the elites in the NFC. You will most likely right now be stuck at probably, thanks to the NFL moving this around and getting some extra cash, getting that 7th or 6th seed. If you can even retain most of the people next year, because like they even have free agency issues in general. We've talked about Allen Robinson all year, Will. And, you know, if you remove Allen Robinson, you're just, in my opinion, neutering this offense even more.
More episodes of Windy City Sports Talk can be found on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast as well. We now return to Windy City Sports Talk.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing, and I'll probably reiterate this again in the offseason and really probably in the next week or two whenever the Bears lose, which is probably going to be this Sunday, and then they're going to obviously have to come up with a decision on, okay, we're keeping these guys or we're getting rid of these guys. The only way you can convince me to allow them to have another chance is if they were to promise me that they will go out in the offseason, try their damnedest to find a way to appease Allen Robinson, throw a bunch of money at him and try to keep him. And whether he leaves or not, you need to target free agency and the draft, particularly the draft, because, you know, you need the draft. You know, the goal in the draft is always to find those guys that could play for your team for the next, you know, 7 to 10 years or so. You need to go find some more linemen, because obviously since your second and third stringers are doing better than some of your first stringers that are out hurt right now, goes to show you that the line's got to get revamped. You essentially have to pour most of your focus and assets into offense. You need to get more receivers. You need to maybe even get another running back. So it's Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, or I almost said Tyreek Hill. Find a guy like that, honestly, as well, whether he's a running back or a wide receiver. You need to get more weapons for whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Foles, whether it's Trubisky, whether it's a new guy you're drafting, which I hope they do too. But this can't, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, if they're honestly still here next year, and Pagano, you can't be like, okay, we're going to go get another Robert Quinn type of guy. We're going to throw 40, 50 million on another linebacker or lineman or something. No, the offense is fine. You could re-sign Barcavius Mingo. You could re-sign Brent Urban. Those guys, they come back on 1 or 2 year deals for a couple million. If you have to say goodbye to Buster Screen or you have to cut Danny Trevathan, you know, there's some dead weight out there that you probably could move on from if you really had to, but you have enough foundational pieces at least for a couple more seasons. Obviously, in Mac Quinn, I'm willing to give another chance. You have Eddie Jackson, Tayshaun Gibson. He wasn't exactly in a bidding war in free agency last year when they signed him, and they signed him late in free agency. So maybe you bring him back on a 1 or 2 year deal. Re-sign some of your defensive pieces in the offseason and free agency, and then maybe the draft is where you attack offense. Like, this can't be another, we're going to get all these highlight players. You got to get the highlight players for the positions you really need, and that's running back, offensive line, quarterback, and wide receiver. Essentially, literally the whole damn offense, Zach. So that's the only thing it's going to persuade me to give them another chance.
Here's the hard reality, Will. The Bears have one of the lowest amounts of cap availability next year, and you're going to have to make some tough decisions to even sign some of the guys you want back. For example, you got to sign Cordell Patterson back. And he's not going to come cheap for return man. He's one of the best at his position. And it's the Bears in the ranks of cap space in particular. They're one of the bottom in the league right now. According to this, they have at least, they're in the negatives right now for effective cap. Like, I think 10 million negative, if that's right. No, I'm sorry. 89,000. So this is one of those teams that's going to be shedding people. You have to somehow find a way, in my eyes, here's the people you have to find a way to keep. Cordell Patterson has to stay. You have to find a way to get back, or I would say, Barkavius Mingo, Brent Urban, Mario Edwards, and I don't know how you re-sign Roy Robinson Harris without him going somewhere else to get a better deal. And then Allen Robinson alone, just if you want to tag him, that's upwards 18 mil. They don't have much money, Will.
I don't even think they can afford to tag anybody, honestly.
That's the problem. This is a very deadlocked team that's going to make some tough decisions this offseason as well. I mean, it just adds to that overall feeling of numbness, me going to this game, because, you know, right, Nate, you have to sign some of these guys that have been good role players, but you're probably going to lose out on some. Another one I want to add in, DeAndre Houston Carson. I would not like to lose that guy for his special teams abilities and his fill-in roles in the secondary, but that's a guy you might have to lose a bit because you have to save some money is the deal. And, you know, one credit that Ryan Pace has, great at drafting mid-round picks. Now, is he going to do well with the upper picks this year? You know, first and second round, we'll find out. But, you know, historically, he is best at mid-round to late round. So I will give him some props. Maybe he can find some gems. But, you know, that's banking on the draft is never a completely sound option. Of course, free agency isn't either. But you're kind of locked in. It's hard to say where you're going to move. And I mean, there's going to be some deals, but you're going to be – this is one of those teams that's going to lose a lot of role players come next year.
See, I'm okay with losing a couple role players. Like, to be honest, as much as I love Cordero Patterson, okay, any of your other wide receivers should be able to handle punt duties or, you know, kickoff duties. Why it was so difficult for Anthony Miller and some of these other guys, I think is kind of mind-blowing. And maybe we need to talk more about the special teams coordinator going, because I think it's kind of a joke that how many – or plus when Tariq Cohen comes back too, he'll be able to do some of that stuff as well. I mean, Darren Sproles used to do that too for a couple of teams back in the day. I used to love Darren Sproles, you know, who was really the first version of Tariq Cohen. But at the end of the day, I think it's ridiculous that I don't think that's – you know, everybody wants to bash Chuck Pagano for this team, this defense not looking and feeling like 2018. Can we talk about special teams, how every time the ball gets punted to us, the guy we fair catch it, but we allow it to – dropped on the ground and bounced another 10 yards backwards and we're on our own 5-yard line. Like, at least catch the ball on the fair catch. Don't always risk it because it's not always going to go into the end zone, especially if it's dropping 10, 12, 15 yards. You know, if it's dropping on the 15-yard line, why are you letting it drop there? You know, it's not going to bounce in the end zone. It may go 10 yards, but again, you're still on your 5 or your 4-yard line. That's something I think people need to talk about more too, is, you know, you want to get rid of Nagy, you want to get rid of, you know, all these other guys, especially Chuck Pagano. I'm not a big hater of Chuck Pagano. I think it's really his players underperforming. Danny Trevathan looks like he aged about 5 years. Again, Robert Quinn, I think Ryan Pace might've signed a hurt player. He was hurt. He didn't play in, he didn't really participate in training camp. Obviously there wasn't a preseason, but the guy's been hurt. He's been off. There's something wrong because this guy's been a great player, a sack master, you know, a tier two, I would say, pass rusher, you know, maybe not as high as Khalil Mack, but those two were supposed to bring the thunder. It didn't happen. So, you know, there's a couple of guys that I think I'm okay with, you know, Houston Carson going, it's going to suck, but you know, you can replenish some of these special teamers, I think, with guys in the draft. Or, you know what, hey, instead of Riley Ridley, who was a 4th-round pick, being, you know, you know, inactive every single week, let him at least do punt return duties or something. If you don't give these guys a chance to do anything on the field, they're not going to ever amount to anything. So I think there's some roster things that definitely could get handled and could get done a little bit better, even if there are going to be some tough decisions and changes coming to the roster at the end of this year. But Zach, I want to head into previewing this lovely wild card game that we're just so excited to be able to participate in. And I guess the one little bright spot to bring up is that the Bears lost to the Saints 26-23 back in overtime back on November 1st. And that's when Foles was leading the offense. So I'm wondering, do you think this second matchup could be this close? Could it maybe be a little bit closer and a better game than I think we're initially thinking? Because if Foles was able to kind of keep it in check, and we know how limited he ended up making the offense, maybe Mitch's ability could spark a few things. What do you think?
Well, I think that's the solace, that the best solace I get out of this is that they were able to stay competitive with Nick Foles in there. They went to overtime in that contest. They just had a terrible overtime sequence to even finish off that game. And Mitch Trubisky has made this offense more efficient. So having him back there, you can make an argument that they do have a legitimate shot and that they're focusing on the right elements of their offense at the right time. You're going to also have to play the same game you played with the Green Bay Packers, but you're going to have to execute it better, is play keep away and convert in the red zone when you need to, rather than taking the field goals. You might have to get a little more risky and a little more, I would say, riverboaty, if you want, take a Ron Rivera reference and kind of going for it on fourth down in there or in that range, not settling for field goals, because the New Orleans Saints are fully back together at this point. And the only caveat or player that's going to be iffy for this contest is Alvin Kamara, the one that is the biggest role player on the Saints besides Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas will be back. He's confirmed to be starting this coming week. Alvin Kamara is iffy on his status with COVID. However, they also have Latavius Murray. So even though Kamara is the all-in-one package, Murray has been a starter in the past. He can execute a pass or run concept game for running back. So they're not completely done at that position. So, and they also have Taysom Hill. If they really want to have a gadget player, they have weapons, is all I'm saying. And I think Chicago can keep up. You just have to keep everything in front of you. That's how this team wins. And how the Bears defense is played, this will have to be one of the best games they played all year to start the wild card, because if you've been playing anything like you have the last month, I don't see this going in the Bears' favor. I don't think it goes to overtime. I think it would be a loss anyway by maybe a possession to two possessions. But the Bears' defense is the reason why I'm less confident now, if I had a reason for it, than I was back when they played earlier this season. The offense definitely gives me optimism that they can keep up. But having to play some sort of barnstorming race with the New Orleans Saints is not Chicago's strong suit and something that I do not see going their way. So somehow Pagano is going to have to find a way, with a mixed status of Roquan Smith too, mind you, finding a way also get Josh Woods to be better at that position than he was last week, to maximize this defense and get them playing at a high level again, especially those that I feel haven't been playing at a high level this year and might have been started, and this might have been a trend start last year. I'm going to call it Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller here. I feel like they've been subpar for the money and as well as what they're expected to do. Jackson's missed on a lot of opportunities this year, in particular, is most of my issue, and he did even against Green Bay. You're going to need the best he has been in some time, as well as I think Kyle Fuller, because these guys have not been playing up. And you also have to remember, too, Jalen Johnson's not in as well. This would alleviate a lot of issues, I think, with the overall secondary scheme. But the fact that Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, to me, have been underplaying their position on the defense as well, it just adds into the fact that my confidence with this defense is at an all-time low in the last 3 years. It's definitely the all-time low, at least in the Chuck Pagano era. And I think that's what's going to hold them back from having a shot at New Orleans, is that they have taken some steps backwards in a month at that unit of the team.
Yeah, and we also have to remember, too, that Will Lutz missed a field goal as well in that game back on November 1st. So to be honest with you, it should have been 26-23 minus the overtime period, because they would have won it with that score with that earlier kick. So again, early struggles for the Saints to get going in that game kind of plagued them, and why it became so close, because again, and it's this, one of the continuously running storylines for the team this year was just not being able to start, you know, the second half. Well, you know, they, as another game where they didn't score, you know, in the third quarter, they didn't get going. So that's something, you know, you can't wait until there was, you know, 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter to, you know, gain the lead or tie the game and start getting going. So, and Foles wasn't even that bad in that game. In terms of statistically, 28 for 41 in terms of the sloppy throws, of course. Yeah. But he did have two touchdowns, 272 yards, you know, but again, that's kind of the peak for Mitchell Trubisky too. But I'm honestly, and I'm glad you started analyzing the defense, because those missing pieces, if Roquan doesn't play, which his status is in doubt because he hasn't participated in anything in practice so far this week, it's going to be huge. I'm assuming if Jalen Johnson's been out this long, I think, and it's kind of looking like he's going to be out again, you know, bust through screen, you know, the concussion, it's, that's up in the air too. I'm just saying, if you don't have screen, if you don't have Roquan Smith and you don't have Jalen Johnson out there, you're going to have some issues. That's for sure, especially with the team, you know, Drew Brees, I don't know if he's exactly in 100% tip top shape, obviously, because of those ribs. But, you know, you mentioned they got a lot of other weapons, you know, Kamara, if he's able to play, Latavius Murray has done a tremendous job in backup, and he's got starter experience, so he can come in here and handle the load if need be. Taysom Hill, the list goes on and on. So I think, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Zach, I think I'm a little bit more worried about the defense this time around than the offense. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, the Bears could probably score 21 points on the Saints. I don't see that being an issue, but it's going to come with great struggle with this team. You know, Mitch is probably going to have to do his little dink and dump passes. You know, David Montgomery hopefully can have a good game too, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to think what my prediction was. I think I gave a score prediction a couple of days ago on Beyond the Press Box. I think I'm going with the score of 34-2. I probably got the Bears part of it wrong because I can't remember totally from Monday, but I'm going to go Saints win this game 34-21. I just don't see the defense playing well, and the offense is not going to be able to really keep up. They may keep up at the beginning, but I think it's going to be kind of like the Packers game where over time you're going to see they're going to get stretched thin and they're not going to be able to keep up. So do you have any final thoughts, takeaways, or score prediction for this dreaded matchup?
Well, one thing we need to keep in mind too is the New Orleans Saints, their defensive unit is better than Green Bay. And I mean, Green Bay statistically is mid pack to top 10 in the NFL, but on the surface, the Saints have the better defense and one of the best units in the NFL. So keep that in mind too. You have to keep in front of that New Orleans offense, which even with a hindered Drew Brees, or at least a much less effective Drew Brees that's not as explosive in recent years, he still has all the weapons, and you need to keep in front while also hoping your defense, which has been having some injury issues as well as really energy and consistency issues, is going to have to keep up with this. I don't agree that they will. I said this on Press Box. My final score is 28-17. I think what you'll see is you'll see Chicago do something similar as the previous week with Green Bay. They'll either, if they get a kickoff, they'll open up the game with maybe a touchdown for that first drive. But unfortunately, what'll happen is that they'll sputter out and they will be failing to convert drives at some point in this contest. Meanwhile, New Orleans, I think, will take advantage of some of the younger talents on the Bears secondary that will most likely fill in, at the very least for Jalen Johnson, I imagine, with Duke Shelley. And then Buster Screen maybe makes it back. But even if Screen makes it back, he has not been, I would say, exactly an impact player in the secondary or at his nickel spot. So I'm still going 28-17. I don't really have as much confidence. And again, it's mainly because the Bears defense has taken some progressive steps backwards overall that holds me back from saying that they can get over the hump this time against the Saints.
All right. One more quick thing before I let you go. I just got to ask you what your gut feeling is here. Mine is that no matter what happens Sunday, everybody's coming back. Trubisky gets a 1-year deal. Nagy is retained. Pace is retained. And I think Ted Phillips stays too, even. Curious, what at the end of the day, what do you think your gut reaction is to this?
I think they punt till next year, and they will keep everybody. The only one I would say that has a chance at getting changeover is Ted Phillips. I think that one has a legitimate shot. I think Ted might have noticed this year, and I would hope that he realizes that if it goes sideways next year, which not saying it will, but there's a lot of factors next year that show that it might go farther down the scale than it has these past 2 years, that it might be time for him to say, look, I'll take the nice retirement and move on and give the McCaskies some chance of adding in some personnel that can evaluate Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy as football-centric people, you know? And I know Ryan Pace has had more control than previous GMs, but it's not in the same essence as like a Chris Ballard, who I understand at one point was on the Bears' radar, was brought in for an interview, but was turned down because he wanted full control, including kind of some of the final decisions Phillips has, which I know Phillips is a financial guy, but he still makes decisions in the football world at the, when it's final say time. So Phillips has the best shot, but don't be surprised if everyone just comes back and they say, well, we had some positive gains at the end of the year. Let's go one more time. That's what's going to, in my opinion, is going to happen. You're going to see like I won't say Lovie Smith, but I mean, you look at how Lovie Smith's tenure with Chicago went. Yes, there's been no Super Bowl berth that Matt Nagy's had, but it was kind of blips and seeing how far we could get and like moving it the goalposts next year. So I think that's what you're going to see this year with two straight 8-8 seasons. And they did make a playoff, technically, you'll get one more year of all of them, and they'll see how far down it goes after that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, regardless of what happens, they better be prepared for next year because it's going to be probably a tougher schedule. Now, obviously, the NFL hasn't released what the schedule is yet for 2021. That, you know, comes, I think, in March or April. But we do know the opponents, and I'm going to read this for you here real quick, Zach, just to get you a little bit mentally ready for next year. And that's, the home schedule includes the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Giants, the 49ers, and, of course, your NFC North opponents. The away schedule features the Cleveland Browns, the Los Angeles Rams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Seattle Seahawks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then, of course, your second round of NFC North games. So that's a lot of teams there that are in the playoffs, and a couple of teams like the 49ers, who probably should be better next year, obviously, when they get a bunch of their players back from IR. So and some up-and-coming teams, the Browns, the Cardinals. I think the Rams are starting to find their way, and the Buccaneers look to be kind of a deadly team. So are you excited for next year after hearing those teams are going to play?
Well, all I'm going to say is you better be able to find a way to maximize the roster you're going to get. And you better get some damn good young talent coming in with this fully stocked draft this year. The first one since Khalil Mack came to Chicago, because here's, like I said, with all the stuff they have to deal with this offseason, it's going to be tough. You made a playoff, so you have enough talent to get to that seventh seed, but man, it's still going to be tough, man. I mean, even you aren't even talking about our own division, like Minnesota, I don't think that they're going to finish 7-9 again next year. This was a 10-6 team 2 years ago that had a young defense. Like, they're going to be a tough opponent again. You can't sleep on any of this roster. The 49ers, for crying out loud, injury issues, and they're probably going to switch up at QB, which Garoppolo's been okay. But knowing Kyle Shanahan, they will find a way to maximize whoever's in that QB spot, especially if it's someone like, say, a Carson Wentz that lands there. You know, I know Carson Wentz had the interception stuff, but or interception lead this year. But man, I think with a better atmosphere, he's going to be better anyway. So tough schedule, you know. And what is it with the Rams? You know, we're just stuck playing the Rams last 3 years. I know I've read into like the Bears rivalries and that the Rams technically qualify as a rivalry, but like, really, the Rams, like, that 2018 game was, of course, good. But last 2 years, you know, I'm just like, I see the Rams on schedule. I'm like, man, we're really just going to play them again and probably have Sean McVay outclass Matt Nagy, aren't we?
Yeah, on primetime, too. Don't forget about that.
Exactly.
So, but, yeah, it's going to be nuts. But, You know what, Zach? Why don't we just make the QB room bigger? Why don't we just get Carson Wentz in here? Bring back Trubisky. Let's just bring back Foles. If not Wentz, I mean, go after Jimmy G. Let's just have 10 quarterbacks and drive the fan base nuts.
It would drive it nuts. I've said it to you, said to Yash, I've said to Cody, the only way you bring Wentz in is if you learn from your mistakes with Nick Foles and you bring him in for cheap. You wait till he is cut after June 1st, because here's the deal. CBS Sports broke it down. The Eagles they won't lose or gain any money if they cut him on June 1st, which is probably the best scenario with how toxic his situation's gotten over there. He will probably be available for pennies on the dollar for a league minimum, like a Cam Newton. So if you want to avoid the money mistakes you made last year, and considering Nick Foles is probably going to opt out since he probably won't be the starter next year or is unlikely to be, you know, you could pick him up for cheap and then run with that if you wanted. I'm not saying it's my favorite option, but if you wanted to be more money conscious and have someone that I think is looking for something to prove, that's something I'm not completely unsold from.
Yeah, nothing's guaranteed because there's a lot of possibilities. But at the end of the day, I think the one guarantee is it's going to be a very compelling offseason. Don't know if it's going to be a happy one. Don't know if it's going to be a sad one. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit of mixed emotions for us Bears fans. But at the end of the day, the Bears are in the playoffs. Yay, I guess, as I continue to say. We'll see what happens, Zach. I hope we're wrong. I hope they do win and they surprise the hell out of us. But I'm not going to go in with, you know, my heart out for him because I'm tired of getting disappointed and my heart broken with this team. So, but hey, I thank you for coming on today. I do appreciate it as always. And thank you for coming on so many times last year. I'm sure 2021, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about some stuff. And 2021 is going to be a big year with this podcast. This Friday, we have another podcast with Ryan Walsh coming up. We're going to be talking about the Cubs and what's going on with them. Josh Kestner will be on here in a week or two. Got some trying to figure out some scheduling with him. We're going to start talking about the uniquely designed 2021 season for the NHL. And do the Blackhawks have a chance? Probably not, but we're going to talk about them anyways. And lastly, I'm going to do a quick tease here, but I'm in talks to get a big time Chicago sports media superstar on the podcast here, hopefully sometime soon. So in the process of scheduling, but we have a huge, huge, huge podcast coming up potentially next week. So I don't want to jinx myself, but big things coming up. I already got three more shows planned here. So we're going to attack 2021 hard, going to make this podcast even bigger. It's grown a lot the last couple of months. So thank you for everyone for listening and supporting, liking and subscribing to this podcast in 2020. And I hope you continue on with the ride with me here in 2021. You're going to hear Zach a million times, who I owe probably 50 different frequent flyer rewards for as well. So, and he's like, I can tell he's probably like, you know what? I better get something here soon. Come on now.
I'll get to redeem something. I will make sure that you owe me whatever it is. But for now, I'm obviously going to hold that one to the side.
All right. Thank you for being generous there. But anyways, thank you guys for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. And until next time, be well.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. You can find more episodes on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, be well.